إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, if there is one word which spells the difference between success and failure in life, that word is commitment. The best way to understand what is commitment is to look at one of the big cats hunting. You don't have to go to this forest for it. You don't have to go to jungles for it nowadays. YouTube is enough. There is, for example, there's a video of a lioness attacking a zebra, and this video is absolutely amazing. She leaps onto the back of the zebra, catches him by the back of the neck, which is the classic killing bite of the lion, also of the tiger, also of the leopard, usually of the leopard. Leopard generally is on the throat, but on the back of the neck. And then, because of the speed of her attack, she somersaults over the head of the zebra and falls flat on her back, but she doesn't let go of the hold. And the zebra then somersaults and falls on top of this lioness. A zebra weighs about 450 kilograms. So we're not talking about a small weight. With 450 kilograms on slamming down on top of her, she still doesn't let go the hold. And she has her dinner. Now, this is the meaning of commitment. Commitment is to give everything you have got. Commitment means no plan B. Commitment means you have let go of one of the trapeze on one side and you are flying through the air. Commitment means there is no safety net, there is no, there is no belaying rope. Commitment means complete and total dedication and complete and total commitment and complete and total concentration on whatever the goal is. And that's why I always say, look at an animal hunting if you want to see commitment. Because if that animal misses that particular attack, then you can see it'll fall down or something will happen to it, because it's totally, completely and totally committed. Now, this is the secret of success in life. And that is the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as far as Islam is concerned, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely. Kaffatan. Not partially. Don't sit by the side of the pool and dip your toes into the water to see if it is cold or hot. You take a flying leap into the water. Only then will you learn to swim. Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwatish-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, O you who believe, enter into Islam completely and totally, not partially, not half-heartedly, selectively. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is disobedience. Because if you are selecting to obey one rule, then it means what? It means the other one you don't want to obey. So effectively, selective obedience is disobedience. Obedience is to obey everything. Disobedience is to leave even one thing. See the difference between the two. Obedience is to obey everything. Disobedience is to leave even one thing. If you are trying to leap across a trench which is 10 feet wide, if you leap 9.5 feet, you are still inside the trench. Now you can't say, oh, but you see, I made all this effort. No. You either got across the trench or you didn't get across the trench. One of the two. I mean, you can't be partially across a trench. If you are leaping a trench, you can't be partially across. You can't say, well, you know, I made all the... Yeah, you made the effort, not good enough. You are still inside the trench. And that is what is the problem with us as far as Islam is concerned. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, Ya ayyuhallazina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffatan. What happens to a lion What happens to a tiger? What happens to a leopard? Which makes a half-hearted effort. It goes hungry. Simple as that. It will not get its kill. As simple as that. It goes hungry. The same rule applies to us in this dunya wal akhirah. It's like jumping a 10-foot wide trench. If we make the effort for 5 feet, 6 feet, 8 feet, 9 feet, 9.5 feet, 9.9 feet, still you are inside the trench. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us. As far as selective obedience is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah in Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْدِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْدِ. Allah said, are you among those? Will you take something from the book and you leave out something else? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if you do this, then what will happen? Allah said two things. He said, one, khizyun fil hayati dunya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make this life of this world very, very hard for you. Khizyun fil hayati dunya. Wa yawm al akhirah yuradduna ila ashaddi al adhab. And on the day of judgment, you will be returned towards the most grievous of punishments, the worst of punishments. May Allah protect us from this. And that is for whom? This is not for somebody who has denied everything outright. It's not that if you deny everything outright, you will go to Jannah. No, you will still go to Jannah. But the point is, specific mention is being made of people who have effectively accepted some things, believed some things, who are doing some things, who are obeying some things. You might say, well, you know, this is like too tough. I mean, what is this? After all, I am doing something. Kuch to kar raha hai na, apne bolte hai, Hazrat. But what we don't understand is that doing something is no good. We have to do everything. If you don't do everything, like photography, for example. Ismail is telling me yesterday, the controls of the camera have to become second nature to you. They have to become instinctive to you. Yeah, my problem always is that at the last moment, in the moment of excitement, I forget something or the other. I don't do it deliberately, but I forget. So what happens? I mean, I have a beautiful experience, no doubt about that, but the picture is not beautiful. The picture has got some problem with it. Unless you do whatever is required, complete commitment. And therefore, I believe that we need to take stock of our lives. Right? We need to take stock of our collective existence as well as the Muslim Ummah. But you know, today we live in a world where that is easy. Any number of meetings and seminars and conferences and whatnot to think about what should the Muslim Ummah be doing. I think all these conferences, they must put a mirror in front of every speaker. Who is the Muslim Ummah? You are the Muslim Ummah. I am the Muslim Ummah. We don't think of it like that. What should I be doing? No. What should the Muslim Ummah be doing? Who is this Muslim Ummah? And that's why nothing happens. That is why we have our conference, we have our tea, we have our dinner, we go home, and the next day is the same like the previous day. The reality of life is, unless we are willing to look at ourselves straight in the eye and say, I have to change. Number one. Number two, when? Before I die. Which is when? Like now. Number three, what does the meaning of change? That we have to decide. And believe me, it's no mystery. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us very, very clearly. Allah told us what is right. Allah told us what is not right. حَتَّ بَيَّنَ رُشْتُ مِنَ الْغَيِّ. Very clear. Both have been demarcated. What is right is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is not right is whatever goes against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Absolutely clear. There's no mystery. It's not left to your, you know, imagination or something, no. So, we know what is right. We know what is not right. Then we look at our own lives and say, where do I fit in? Inshallah, we don't fit completely into the wrong. But that is the problem. The problem is that we have, you know, one leg here, one leg there. You have one leg in each boat and you will sink. You will fall into the water and drown. You need to get into this boat or that boat. And that is where we have to take stock of our lives, sit down and say, what is it that I am doing which I should not be doing? Number one. Number two, what is it that I am not doing which I should be doing? And for not just most of us, I think all of us. Once again, this is no great mysterious thing. This is no great complicated theological problem. Simple things. Am I praying Salatul Fajr in the masjid or not? Alhamdulillah, all of you prayed today. Alhamdulillah, we are good. That's it. I mean, what is it? Then you go to the fulfillment of faraid, earning and eating halal, doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do, not doing what He ordered us not to do. This is where our own nafs, is where our own desires come into play. Right? I want to do the wedding of my son or my daughter. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed me a way which is beautiful, which is simple, in which there is no unnecessary expenditure of money, which is full of khair and barakah. But then what must I do with my Hyderabadi wedding customs and saachak and mehndi and haldi and God knows what? And then I must have a gana party and I must have, you know, one qawwali and I must have... Ye sab karna na bhai. Nahi kare to kaisa? Shaadi kaisa hoti? Khada dupatta, baitha hua kya ki, sir ke upar kya ki, taang ke upar kya ki, dum ke upar kya ki, pura hona. This is where the problem, that is the root cause of the problem, nothing else. And I have said a million times to parents, make a list of all of these things, make a list of all the expense, you know, your gana party, what will you pay to the singer, what will you pay for the hotel, pura bana ke, list bana ke, that entire amount of money, give it to your own child. I'm not even saying give it to charity, give it to your son, give it to your daughter and say, this is your wedding gift. Your wedding will be as per the sunnah, nikah in a masjid, and we will do one decent walima. I'm not saying walima mein aapko jawari ki roti, mirchi ki chutney khilao nahi bol rahe. Aap achha khana khilao. Although jawari ki roti, mirchi ki chutney is a very nice khana. But anyway, I'm saying point is that achha khana khilao. Give a good dinner for walima, that's it, khalas. So one dinner which is walima, that's it. Nikah in the masjid, go home, have the walima same day or the next day, as the case might be, and that's it. All the money for all of these different customs and practices which we have decided not to have, I am not going to save as your father, I will not save it for myself. This is your gift. Take the money, do something useful with it, buy some property with it, do something good with it. Go have a holiday if you want. You know, I mean, no problem. But do not spend it in something which is haram. Do not spend it in something which invites the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why do you want to begin your life as a married couple by angering Allah? What sense does it make? Tell me. Does it make any sense? You want to begin your life as a married couple by doing something which is guaranteed to anger Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is khair going to come from the anger of Allah? La hawla wa quwwata illa billah. Why must we do it? I'm telling you seriously, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put us in the position of the sahaba where decisions were matters of life and death. Here it is no life, no death. This is just pure nafs, nothing else. Only your own nafs. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us to see that which is beneficial for us and to do it without fearing anyone other than Him jalla jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this as a quality of the believers. La yakhafuna lawmata la'im. Allah said they are people who are not afraid of what people will say. Of the criticism of others. They are not afraid of that. They say, oh, we please only Allah. And if somebody is displeased because I am pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I am not bothered about that. That's not my problem. I will live my life in a way which pleases Allah. Then I know there is barakah in my life. Then I know my dua is accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, this is what I want. I ask Allah to give us a life like that, inshallah. and to keep us safe from the khutwati shaitan, from following the khutwati shaitan, the footsteps of shaitan. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.